Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Hello, this is Fred Film Radio. You are listening to the daily program Global Critics Venice Voice. I'm Rita Di Santo. I'll be hosting the program. And today with me, I have three incredible special colleagues. You know already, Vlado.
Vladimir, yeah.
And then we have from Lithuania,
Ieva. I write for Lithuanian national radio and television broadcaster and some print magazines as well.
And then we have Brian Viner.
Brian Viner from the Daily Mail in England.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much for coming today. So we have three incredible titles to chat together about. The first one is Poor Things by Yorgo Lanthimos. The second is Finalmente l'Alba, Finally Dawn. And then The Palace, Roman Polanski. So let's start with Poor Things by Yorgo Lanthimos. So Emma Stone is a female Frankenstein, a Frankie girl, is a funny, magic, with a magic energy, powerful filmmaking, with a wonderful cinematographer, Kobe Robbie Ryan. And you've seen the movie?
Yes. What do you think? I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Yeah, I'm a fan of his. I love The Favourite. I think it was a very interesting film, beautifully acted. Emma Stone is absolutely wonderful. Willem Dafoe, who plays her, plays a sort of Dr. Frankenstein character, who's this very disfigured man who basically rescues her after she has tried to commit suicide, this character. She falls into the Thames, the River Thames in London, and she technically dies, but he brings her back to life by implanting the brain of the baby that's inside her into her brain. He reanimates her and she comes back to life, which sounds very weird, which is very weird. And the film continues in that vein. But it's really her story. It's really it's a kind of a feminist film. And I just thought it was brilliant. I loved it. Really, really good.
Yeah, Emma Stone did a really good job. Well, have you seen the movie?
Yes, I've seen it, and I actually agree. I also liked it. It's one of my top lists so far, next to The Promised Land as well. I liked it more than The Favourite. I think this one is more daring and maybe goes a bit back also to his Greek roots, when he was more bizarre with his, even like more daring with his filmmaking. But here I think style-wise, he went even further beyond just cinematography, but also production value. Costume designs are really wonderful. Yeah. The sets, they're just like, everything is like on production side is super fantastic and really well crafted. Like the whole world is very well crafted. And I agree with you on the feminist side, because thinking that it's kind of more like probably Victorian time setting, and we have a female character that's just like going to explore herself and feeling like this need that, you know, I don't actually maybe need to have one man, I don't need to be this prudish woman. And I think that's just this freedom to explore and tell the man that actually this is who I am, and I'm not going to be part of your like toy, I'm not going to be woman next to you, but I'm going to be my own woman on my own will. I think that's really nice, and I think it's really nice from the director's perspective as well, to put this very strong character and to say that females, especially in this day of age, can be this very daring and be very sexually free.
Yes, I fully agree with my colleagues, and I think this is the best film of Yorgos Lanthimos, and this is the climax of a Greek weird wave. And I discovered so many very insolent self-sightings enriched by, very old-fashioned, but still very expressive Dada style. Have you noticed this? Yes?
Well, certainly very fantastical. Surreal imagery.
And
yeah.
So many actually citations from German expressionism, from Buñuel films, from dieselpunk films, which was filmed in the 80s, and also, of course, for Georges Méliès. I think this film, not only a great feminist film, but also very good reminiscence of whole world cinema history.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and also I think this is one of the best roles of Emma Stone in her life.
Yeah, she's marvelous in it. She's wonderful. Yeah.
It's one of the best movies of Yorgo Lanthimos, I believe. Yeah, definitely it's one of the best. But also here in Venice, I have to say, it's in pole position. And and I think I can see awards coming for it. Like Emma Stone is doing a really incredible job. But also Robbie Ryan is an incredible cinematographer. He was nominated for The Favourites, Yorgo Lanthimos, but he didn't win. Maybe this time he will win, because he really made an incredible shade of grey, and it is not easy. And the blood and the frozen heart and everything else is incredible. Okay, let's go with the second title, Italian. Second title, second movie, second Italian in competition. And I don't know if you've seen it. It's an Italian title, Finalmente l'Alba, Finally Dawn, director Saverio Costanzo. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Yeah. And you?
Yeah, I've seen
that's it. That's good, because I haven't.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't seen Polanski, so...
Okay. I have, unfortunately.
So it's the story of a girl called Mimosa, and it's like Alice in the Wonderland, and it starts in Cinecittà. It's set in the 1950, and it's this young girl meeting the world of... Of the cinema of that time, and is inspired by this murder, this case of murder of an aspiring actress in that period. And what do you see? What do you think?
I think I might be really harsh for this film, because it's the worst one that I've seen so far for me personally. I think there are lots of things that doesn't work. One is the length of the film, 200. It's like 140 minutes long, and the whole plot takes place in one day. It's just one day, and I think for me, just this naive Mimosa character surrounded by Hollywood actors, and everyone has an appeal on her, but when I watch it on the screen, I don't see the appeal. She's very cinematographical, the actress, like with her big eyes on her face. She looks really good on camera, but there's no depth in her. She barely talks, and because of that, we don't really get to know the character besides the introduction that she's supposed to marry one police officer. But besides that, we don't really get to know more of her. She's just being quiet and looking with her sad eyes, and she's being so naive, but then there's no depth in that, and it's just for me it felt very unbelievable, far-fetched. Even like with the American actress, like Lily James, I think when she played the Hollywood actress, she was good in the role, but when she plays this I don't know, like Cleopatra is supposed to be something Egyptian. I think in that scene she really lacked the depth, like also the voice, like she didn't fit for it. So for me, like all in all, it was a disappointment.
Yeah, it's not, I wanted to see more, I like when when she meet this, the story, meet this murder, this case of murder of a young actress, but I wanted to see more of that tension, more of that kind of fear, like a thriller or something, but it's like it loses with the very small details, quite banal and a bit of cliché, the way we see Cinecittà. And I don't know, I understand the effort and the work is like remind a bit La Dolce Vita, but unfortunately, I think it's overlong, and the script vary from subliminal to ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree that like the murder scene is really undeveloped. Like it should have been like it's like very on the side, but they actually don't really explore and don't go that way. So it's like, why was it necessary to go this way? And I agree, especially like the party scene at the end when they're in this big villa. It does remind me of La Dolce Vita.
But I heard that the reaction from the audience was good, that there was a standing ovation. So that's good for the movie, because probably it was expensive. So last final movies, The Palace, Roman Polanski, and The Palace is this huge beautiful hotel, and we love Polanski. We don't love Polanski. Somebody love Polanski, somebody hate Polanski. And this movie set in a beautiful hotel, and Brian, you've seen the movie.
I've seen the movie, unfortunately. Yeah. I wasted 2 hours of my life last night watching the movie. Yes, it's set in it's set on New Year's Eve 1999, so the turn of the millennium, in this very grand hotel in Gstaad, I think, in Switzerland, called The Palace, hence the title of the film. And really it's a comedy about the comings and goings and the ghastly characters who always come to this hotel and who spend their New Year, every New Year there, but this is a special New Year because it's the turn of the millennium, and it's they're all terribly rich and they're all spoiled and they're all ghastly, all of which is fine and might add up to a good comedy, but this is not a good comedy. It's it is Polanski's worst film. If it's the last film he makes, then it will be a sad end to a what has been a very good filmmaking career, whatever you think about his personal life. You know, there's some people who think that he should be cancelled in that phrase that has become a sort of buzzword because of his personal misdemeanors. Well, he should be cancelled for this film. I think it's a disgrace. I think it's a disgrace to him, to his reputation, to the festival. I just thought it was appalling, abominable, dire, embarrassing, lumpen, unfunny, crass. And I could go on, but I think you get the message.
I think we all agree with that. We are very close to the end. Just one title. Is your favorite title so far, Vlado?
Of course, Poor Things.
Okay.
For me, Promised Land and Poor Things.
Okay, Poor Things. I like Maestro, but Poor Things, yeah.
Okay, great. And thank you very much. We are going to have a spritz, because every festival has a drink. And in Berlin, we're going to have a beer. In Cannes, we will have a glass of Prosecco. Here in Venice, at 6 o'clock, we are going to have a lovely spritz, Campari or Aperol spritz. Thank you very much for listening. And thank you so much for my incredible good guest.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.